Father God, Lord, I praise you that you brought us here safely. I thank you, Lord, for what we are here for. Lord, I pray that we be loving you. Please do my prayer. All right. Let's start off by me asking you a question. Okay, this happens sometimes with people. You know how like your friends are talking to them, they're having a conversation, and you come walking up, and you don't know what they're talking about, and you hear them say something, you say, wait, who are you guys talking about? Because you came in the middle of the conversation, right? Let me give you an example, okay? There's you. You walk up to some of your friends, and all you hear is, yeah, but first you need to smell it first to see how bad it smells. What are they talking about? You have no idea. So you go, wait. What are you talking about? And I said, we were talking about milk that's expired. You have to smell it to see if it's good or not. Like, if it smells bad, you throw it out. Just one day out of the day, it smells good. Oh, that's the case. I thought you were, I don't know what I thought you were talking about. It was weird, whatever it was. Yeah, that was weird. Let me read something for you. Open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. First three verses. We are going to go back and look at what happens right before chapter 13. Look at the last verse of chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 31. He says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." Whatever it is he's talking about in chapter 13, there was something he talked about in chapter 12, and he said, "All right, you got that, but there's something better, and that's what I'm going to talk about in 13. We need to go find out what it was he was talking about in chapter 12 so we can know what's better in chapter 13. What is he better? Let's take a look at chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Let's see. Mr. Michael, this one. Can you read the first, line of chapter 12, verse 1?
Now concerning spiritual gifts.
Right there. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Here's another question you might want to really answer. What is chapter 12 about? There's a two-part answer. Mr. Mike, what do you think one of the parts is?
Gifts.
Exactly. We're going to talk a little bit more about what gifts are. But remember that. What is chapter 12 about? There's two things. Gifts is one. Chapter 12 is about the spiritual gifts. For the first 11 verses there of chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about the spiritual gifts. Let me read for you, starting verse 7 through 10. Some of these spiritual gifts. The Apostle Paul says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given to the Spirit the utterance of wisdom." There's one. "To another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit." Another. "To another faith by the same Spirit." "To another gifts of healing." "To another the working of miracles." "To another prophecy." "To another the ability to distinguish between spirits." "To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues." These are all the gifts that the Apostle Paul is talking about. That would be a good thing to remember, too, to list those gifts. Maybe you can write those down later. The Apostle Paul talks about all these different abilities that God has given to people in the church, especially in that day. Some of those we don't really have anymore. The gifts were given to the church. They all came from the same God, but there was different abilities given to different people to be used for the church, to build up the church, to prop the church for God's people. But they all came from the same Spirit. They all came from the same God. Let's continue. That's just kind of a synopsis. Verse 12. Let's see. Lydia. Verse 12. Of chapter 12, verse 12. Read that for us. Nice and loud.
"For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ."
What was the first thing in chapter 12 about? Yes, very good. Lydia, based on verse 12, what do you think the second thing is?
Christ.
Close. Christ.
Christ.
Anybody want to help? Silas?
One body.
One body. The body of Christ. Exactly. The body of Christ. Somebody tell me, what is the body of Christ? What does that refer to? Anybody know? Kathleen? Christians even said the church, same thing. The church. The church is the body of Christ. It talks here about Christ being the head and us being the body. Now, let's see. You got Jared back there. Jared went on a mission trip with me this past spring. It was cold. And me and his stayed where it was warm. And we put Matthew's feet on his hand and up outside. It was cold. It was comfortable. Except for whenever you got into the drywall on your fingers further off. That was fine. Zared's really tall. We're doing that drywall one. He could reach stuff up really high. I had to go get a ladder. We're different. We're really different. Mr. Tucker was on a mission trip. That guy, I mean, he measures things so precisely. Just right. I'm like, dude, just cut the numbers and get in there. You can't
not.
He's very precise. He's different.
We're all different.
Chapter 12 here, the Apostle Paul talks about the body of Christ. And what he's saying is there's different types of members. There's all different types of people in the body of Christ. We are all one church. God is the head. Just like there's different gifts, all coming from God. The church is all one. It's one body, the body of Christ. He keeps on talking here and gets to the end of chapter 12. Let's look at verse 28 through 30. God's talking, he takes the idea of the gifts and the different parts of the body and puts them together, and he says here, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? And the answer to all those is no, because we're all different. God gives us different abilities that we are to use to help each other and to love God. That's what chapter 12 is about, the gifts in the body of Christ and how those gifts are given to help the body of Christ, to build it up, to be used further for God's glory. Let's go back to that verse at the end of chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 31. Let me read it for you. But earnestly... All right, we'll stop right there. What does earnestly mean? Earnest is the first thing, right? No, that's a good question. Mr. Brink, what does earnestly mean? Say?
Fastly,
like fast, close, you're on the right track.
Diligently
is a little better there. It's when you want it really, really bad. Is that what you're going to say? Earnestly means you go for it. You are diligent in pursuing it. So you guys have the right idea of it. It's something you go for with your whole heart. That's what earnestly means. Let's read it. But earnestly desire the higher gift. Alright? Somebody on the front row who's supposed to be sitting there. What does desire mean? Close. It's something to talk about. What does desire mean? Isaac?
Happy.
It does make you happy when you're born. Abigail?
When you want something.
Exactly. So he says earnestly. Like whenever you're diligent pursuing it, and then you want to earnestly desire the higher gifts. Hold on. Let's back up a little bit. Let's go back to chapter 12 here. Hold on. This is weird. Hold on. Let me go back and read here. Okay. So he's talking about the gifts, and he says, you know, just one is given utterance of wisdom, the ability to speak wisdom. That's really cool. Utterance of knowledge, the ability to speak knowledge, that's really cool. To another, faith, gifts of healing, being able to heal people. Working miracles, prophecy, speaking the truth of God, is it all really? Distinguishing between spirits, different tongues, the ability with language. These are all really, really cool things. And at the end of chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, yeah, you need to earnestly desire the stuff that's better than that. Cool. That stuff better than that? Cool. Let's talk about that. Then he goes into chapter 13. That's where we're at the beginning of chapter 13. He's talked about the gifts. He's talked about using them for the body of Christ. And he said, those are all great, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. And he keeps going. He said, I will show you a still more excellent way. What does excellent mean? Big words. Big words, by the way. Excellent. What does excellent mean? It's really, really good, right?
Another way to say
that. It means something's really, really, really good. You know? Like, if you go to the store and get one of those old pancakes, that's good. If you go to my parents' house and get my grandma's food,
that's excellent.
He says, I will show you a still more excellent way. So we're talking about things that are let's take a better look at chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I speak in the tongues of men. So like he's talking about this. Is that what he's talking about? Your tongue is enough? What? Dude, I should shake your head no. What is he talking about? Tongues. Oh, languages. That's very good. Look at Acts 2. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2. Let's look at Acts 2. It's like a couple chapters back before 1 Corinthians. I didn't know what verse it was. That's fine. Is it Bailey or again? Bailey. See, I can't keep you straight here. Barbara, right? Miss Barbara. There we go. Read verse 4. Before you do, Acts 2, 4. Before you do, this is the time when the people of the church, this is when the church is very, very young. Jesus Christ had just died, put on the cross, he'd just been crucified, buried, he came back to life, he saw his people there, he talked to them, he went up into heaven, and now he's promised the Holy Spirit would come and help them share the gospel with other people. Spread the church. And then, verse 4. Hey, what did I say about the gifts? There is all kinds of gifts, but they all came from God. And actually, if you go read in Acts chapter 12, it says they all come from the same Spirit. Hey, Acts 2, 4 says that they were able to speak in other tongues as the Spirit, same thing, gave them utterance. They were able to speak in other tongues. We can keep reading in Acts 12 and see that other people who were there who didn't speak the same language as them were able to understand them because the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to miraculously be able to speak in other languages. Tongues, I would remember this question too. What is it? What is talking about tongues? Tongues refer to speaking in other languages that other people can understand. That's pretty cool. Do you guys realize, I know some people, some of you know they're called the Kirklands. Yeah, they're friends with the angel, they're friends with a lot of those persons. They went over to Greece and they're being missionaries there. You know, they spent a lot of time doing their first, like, year there, year and a half, they're still working. You know what they did? You know what their main job was? You know what they did? What was the missionary's first job in the new country? Learn the language.
It's been a lot of time doing that. It's hard. It
takes a lot of work. It would be awesome if God just gave them the ability to speak. But Greek. The ability to speak Greek. And they didn't have to work at it. That would be great. God doesn't do that. He doesn't tell us that. But tongues refers to languages. What? Somebody look at verse 13, verse 1. What does the Apostle Paul say about the ability to speak in tongues? What does he say? Anybody? Abigail? Okay. She said that if you don't love, you're just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. How much use is a noisy gong, that's like a thing, a bong, 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 or a clanging cymbal? It's worthless. If I just sit here, I mean, if you do it as part of the music, if you just sit here and beat on it, it just is annoying. It's just an annoying sound. It's no good. Abigail, are you telling me that the Apostle Paul says that speaking in tongues is no good without love? Are you sure? Yes, she's sure, because that's what it says. Does anybody else think that's weird? I mean, if I could talk in different languages just like automatically, I can't talk in other languages. I don't even agree with you, but it's like this. I can't do that. That's something from God. He's not giving me the ability to do that right now, so I can't do it.
The Apostle Paul says, if you speak in the tongues of men and angels, but you don't love, it's just annoying. It's useless. It just seems weird. Let's keep going. Verse 2. You read verse 2? 13, chapter 13, verse 2. You got it there? Prophetic power of prophecy. What does that refer to? You may know what is prophecy talking about.
Something that was going to happen in the future.
Okay, there's a type of prophecy where you tell what's going to happen in the future. That's in the Bible, right? There's prophecy in the Bible. Okay. There's different prophecies in this whole prophecy. Where did they get that information? They said, this is going to happen in the future. Where did they get that information?
God.
From God, exactly. God gave them the words to speak. And actually, the Bible talks about if there's a prophet who doesn't speak from God, he's cursed. If he says something and he's making it up, he's cursed. Not good. You could say, instead of just limiting it to telling the future, you could say, prophecy is speaking the truth that God is giving us. Pastor Frederick, when was the last time you spoke the truth that God is giving you?
Last week.
That depends on exactly what you mean.
Work with me.
Work in the preaching of the Bible.
Yes.
Is that where you're going with this?
Yes.
When was the last time you did that? Last night.
Last night? Do you preach last night?
Pretty sure.
You preach, it's not sure. I don't know if I did last night either. So, Pastor Brigger, God's given you his truth, right?
Yes.
And you take that truth and you speak it to other people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's a way of prophesying. You're speaking the truth that God has revealed to us. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing. The pastors try to do that every Sunday. So we have prophecy. There's other things that he talks about there in verse 2. Understanding all mysteries and all knowledge. He's got some really smart people out here. I mean, that thing's pretty sharp. You understand a lot. Kathleen, would you say that you understand all mysteries and have all knowledge? No? Let's find somebody smarter than Kathleen. Mr. Lawn is probably smarter than that. Mm-hmm. Mr. Lawn, you're a really smart guy, and you're a scientist, and you know. Would you say you understand all mystery and have all knowledge?
No.
No? Dr. Blizzard's been around a lot. He's a really, really smart guy. Do you say understand all mysteries?
Not all.
Not all? Would you say you have all knowledge?
Just mostly. Not all knowledge.
Maybe most of it, but not all.
Well, let's not go into that.
That would be awesome to understand all mysteries and not all knowledge. Let's look at the last thing in the list here. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains. We have faith enough to remove mountains. Somebody help me out here. There's a part of the Bible where God talks about, Jesus talks about how much faith you need. So we need to have faith as much as, what was it? Do you remember? Yes.
A little dot.
Yes, there was something specific to talk about, but it's small. What was it?
There is
a mustard seed. You have faith like a mustard seed. That's small. Mustard seed is very small. Here's another verse in the Bible that says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Bible talks about faith is how we receive salvation. Faith is very important. Very critically important. We have in here a couple things. Understanding, knowledge, prophecy, faith to move mountains. And at the end of the verse, says, if you don't have love, he says, if I have all those things, but I don't have love, I am nothing. I don't understand this. Verse 1, he talks about, you know, I can speak in the tongues of human angels, but if I don't have love, it's just noise. And verse 2, he talks about, if I have understand all mysteries, if I have prophecy, if I have faith, if I have mountains, it's nothing if I don't have love. That's crazy. Love is that important. Let's keep on. Verse 3. Let's see. Nathan Landry. Read verse 3 for us.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it costs me nothing.
Though I give away all I have, I give away all my goods, give away all my possessions for the good of other people, I give up my body to be burned. But I don't have love, I gain nothing. Let me ask you if you recognize any of these things, okay? These are all things that, let me just ask you if you recognize. Prescott 19. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? Prescott 19? Jimmy's thinking maybe he does. Okay. 343. Why is that number significant? Anybody? Okay, Mr. Wan thinks he knows. My mom does. Yeah, she would. Anybody else 343? No? Okay, how about Charleston 9? Charleston 9. Anybody? Okay, Charleston 9. I got something. You're from that area?
I was.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go. She knows what that's about. Charleston 9. Anybody else in Charleston 9? Yeah. LODD. So there's LODD. No? Last alarm. That one you probably wouldn't get at all. How about this one? This might be in. A black shroud or a piece of black tape, whatever, over your back. Am I figuring out what I'm talking about? Prescott 19, Prescott, Arizona, 19 firemen got caught by a fire on the hillside. These are all things that are important to me because I'm a fireman. The Charleston 9 was a super soaker store fire. 9 guys, building flats, died up. 343 is the number of firemen who died on 9/11. The World Trade Center, the plane soon to the building flats. LODD stands for Line of Duty Death, which is what all those were. Last alarm, they'll actually, and I get chills thinking about this. They'll at a funeral for a fireman or a cop, they'll call them on the radio. And of course, they don't answer. And they'll call them again, so they call them again, and they call them off reach from the doctor. Gives me chills. Never been to a fireman funeral or a cop funeral. They're kind of really, really sad, especially if you are. I talk about those things because that's what's in this verse here. If I give away all I have, if I give my body to be burned, all these people who died, they were all doing a job where they were trying to help other people. They put themselves in a situation where they were at risk of being perfectly killed to help somebody else. Probably didn't even know. And they died for them. There's something that there's a lot of folks to survive. If you don't have love, that gains you nothing. That's what Paul is saying. You know, we would think that, you know, you give away your possessions, you give your life to somebody else, that's worth something. What's Paul says? If I deliver my body to burn, but have not love, I gain. Why is it that love is so important? We talk about chapter 12, and he's in chapter 13, and he says he's got to talk about his gifts. And he says he's going to talk about something still more excellent. He says to desire the higher gifts, the better gifts of that list. But then he goes on to say there is a still more excellent way. That more excellent way is love. Part of the reason this is hard to understand is like doesn't make sense to us. Is we have to remember the context, the verses that come before, the area around chapter
Paul just came off of talking about the body of Christ, the church. What do you guys think? Do you think God cares about the church? Okay, I got heads on. Prove it. Prove it.
That's good.
Well, the Bible, yes, but. Elsie? How did God demonstrate his love for the church?
He sent his son.
He sent his son to die. Got a link.
We know they're real smart, right?
What kind of people did God come to die for? At the time that
everyone.
Did he come to God? Yes. His enemies. Ouch. You know those firemen that died on 9/11 and the rest, they weren't doing that job. Trying to save people who were in rebellion against him. He died to save people who even hated him. He changed their hearts, made them alive, gave them salvation so that he could take them to heaven with him. He did all that out of love for people who didn't love him back. It was only after they were saved, after we are saved, that we can then love God. But in our fallen state of sinners, we are in good. God died for us, even though we are that holy. It all comes back to love. All of salvation comes back to love. Whenever the Apostle Paul is talking in chapter 12 about the body, we said that what is the body of Christ referred to? The church. Thank you. What is another name for the church? And I ask you to read one of mine. But think about love.
Bride of Christ.
Bride of Christ. What's a bride? Maybe some people don't know what a bride is. What's a bride? What? What's that? A lady who's about to get married. Okay. So, would you expect, you know, the guy who's about to marry her, would you say that he's just like, yeah, you know, she's alright. I don't really like her that much, but I'm going to go. What do you think the guy should be saying about her?
I love her so much.
I love her so much, and I really want to marry her. Awesome. And God calls us his bride. God was willing to die for us even before we loved him back. That's the context whenever the Apostle Paul talks about the body of Christ, the church, and the gifts of the given to the church. He's talking about his bride. He's talking about the church that it all comes back to love. It all comes back to loving God because he first loved us. God puts priority on our loving him, on our serving him in the heart. Let's look at a couple of examples of that. The second page of the law. Or no, I outlined it in two pages.
It's in two. We've been on two for a little bit.
Oh, okay. So I don't know that.
Page 28.
Page 28, examples from the Bible. Should say Saul attacks the Amalekites. You see that on there? Saul attacks the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15. Let me give you this story real quick. Don't bother with everybody. Saul was a king. He was a king of Israel. God had chosen him to be king. He had started out really good. He served God. He loved God. He made God his priority. At some point, he started to not put God first. God gave him instructions. God gave him instructions. He was to attack the Amalekites because they were sinful people. God was going to punish them by sending the Israelites to kill them. He gave him specific instructions. He said, you destroy everything. You don't take any of their animals. You don't take any of the stuff. You destroy everything. Saul came to him. Instead of loving God, God first, he didn't follow God's instructions. God rejected him from being king. God puts a priority on our loving him and putting him first.
could look at Moses.
In Hebrews 11, can you read that for you? Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses is included in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith, all of these amazing people, because he prioritized God's will. He loved God more than he loved pleasure, more than he loved sin, more than he loved the world. That is what God values. We can look at Mary and Joseph, or Joseph's Mary. We can look specifically, well, look at Joseph and Mary. Either one of them could have said, whoa, this is too much trouble. This is going to make me look bad. This, I don't want this. Instead, they trusted God. They loved God. They put this fire in his head. God bless them for it. King David, you can go read in the Psalms of the times whenever King David talks about loving God. Does anybody tell me what was David known as? What was his title? He was a man
after God's own
heart. A man after God's own heart. A man, and actually, you go read the story of David, he is pretty awful stuff. His life is not being like, oh, look, he's just like this guy. But God calls him a man after his own heart because he loved God. Because he's a father of God. One more for you. Mark 12:9. If you want you to look that one up. Mark 12:9. Read it. Can you read that for us? That's a great verse, but it's not the one that I'm supposed to have you read. Actually, it's 12:29. That one might make a little more sense.
And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
And verse 3. Keep going.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God
with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is Jesus speaking. He was asked the question, which commandment is the greatest? Which is the most important? Out of all the commandments that God's given, out of all the instructions he's given, which is the most important? Jesus Christ's answer was, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love God. That is the greatest commandment. Whenever we look through the story of salvation, it comes back to love. It comes back to God loving us. When we look at what God prioritizes, what he wants from us, it is our love. One last point for you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians again, chapter 13. We've looked at verses 1 through 3. We've looked at all these amazing. And if you go look at all those, like the tongues, the faith, the understanding, giving of yourself, giving your body to burn, you can go back to chapter 12 and see pretty much all that stuff and the gifts. And he brings it up again in chapter 13 and says, yeah, there's all these great gifts, but without love, they're useless. They're nothing. They're a noisy sound. It gains you nothing without love. And love is a still more excellent way than the Apostle Paul talks about. Let's skip ahead to verse 8. And I know that's not what I'm supposed to speak about tonight. I've never passed verse 8. I'm sorry. Let me read verse 8. Love never ends. As for prophecies, whoa, hold on. When did we read about prophecies earlier in this chapter? Then?
Verse 2.
Oh, you're right. I was thinking it was 3. Chapter 2. Okay, so
We did talk about prophecies, so I'm allowed to use this word. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, tongues, that was in our verses too. What verse was tongues in?
One,
exactly. As for tongues, off my place, they will cease. As for knowledge, wait, was knowledge in one of our verses?
Yeah.
Oh, it was, that's right. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Love never ends, though. This is part of why God prioritizes love, why love is so important. Like Paul said, yes, it's always Christians that if you don't love, they're useless. Without love, we cannot use those properties. Without love, we are not going to use those for the good of others, for the building up of Christ's church, for the good for the building up of his bride, the body of Christ. Those gifts are not the permanent thing. That is not the main thing. They're great, they're wonderful, you should use them, you have to be happy. But those are not the main thing. Love never ends. Love is the main thing. That is a more excellent way to